direct us into all truth. In the blessed name of Jesus, amen. So here's a quick question. When you hear the great controversy, what do you think about? The great controversy.
The battle of good and evil.
Okay, good people and evil people.
No, powers and principalities.
Okay, anybody else? Great controversy of what?
I think Satan versus God's laws and God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the great controversy is very simply stated. It's the controversy between Christ and Satan regarding God's character, his law, and his sovereignty over the universe. But there is a whole lot more going on behind the scenes. You know, you could say it like that, but that doesn't cover everything that has happened or everything that will happen, which I'm sure we'll get into in some later studies about how the great controversy went from heaven. Now it's on earth. It's all universal, and it's all also known as the cosmic conflict, because it involves worlds, different worlds and different universes all around God's great heaven and his creation. So yeah, great controversy, of course, is a disagreement or an argument against two people's beliefs. And where did this start? On earth?
Heaven.
Huh?
Heaven.
Heaven.
With How can the controversy start in heaven and then now we're involved? How did that happen?
Because Satan was cast out of heaven down to the earth.
How come he couldn't get cast somewhere else, like Mars or Saturn?
Don't know the answer to that.
Anybody? Yeah, I don't know the answer either.
Yeah, and that was the argument, was about him being a part of the planning for Earth, right? And I guess he just thought he'd just come here and just usurp it, just take it, like he is it.
Very interesting. The conflict started in heaven, yeah, and then started with a created being. What was his name?
Lucifer.
Lucifer. Lucifer had something that we all have, freedom of choice. So he was able to make a choice on what he wanted to believe or not believe. But once he became self-exalted, he became Satan, God's adversary, which what Satan means. And he led into a rebellion, a portion of the angels. How many angels do you think it is that rebelled?
One third.
What'd you say?
One third.
Yeah, a third of the angels. We don't know exactly how many, but there's so many we can't keep count of them. But a third of the angels came with him. So how is it that a third of the angels came with him also? What did they have that allowed that?
Free will also.
Free will, right? So is free will a good thing or a bad thing?
It's still a good thing.
Doesn't sound like it so far.
Well, but it still is. God gives everyone the choice to love him and serve him or not.
So is freedom of choice better than God just saying, do this, don't do that? And then you have to do it.
Yeah, what fun would there be in that?
Fun.
Yeah.
Just what about the laws of our government?
You know, maybe they think about it, and you think, okay, like if you were in a relationship and you was making the person do, you know, love you and do for you and all of that. That's not the same as a person doing it willingly and lovingly because they wanted to.
What was the word you just used? Start with an L.
Lovingly.
Yeah, love would be missing. The love of the God that says, I love him so much that I'm going to do what he asked me to do. Right. Same as each of us when our family, our friends, our spouses, we have freedom of choice to choose to love them and to choose to treat them the way that we treat them. And without the freedom of choice, we would just be robots. So think about, how does that impact today's society, freedom of choice?
Well, there's a lot on the political front, the political climate right now. There's a movement on one side to take away a lot of freedoms and freedom of choice, and we've seen that play itself out somewhat. But there's a movement to take away even more personal freedoms and take away even more by the government. So that's something that, even though we may not agree with someone's lifestyle or someone's position on different things, we still need to fight to preserve the right, because that's a God-given right to make a choice for ourselves.
Amen.
Yeah, and that's a good point about it being God-given. This isn't a law that mankind came up with. God gave every human being the right to make a decision for themselves. So who is man to come along and say, no, we're going to tell you guys which decision to make? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like they're telling us, that we don't have the freedom of choice, that I know better than you and I'm going to make the decisions for you. And when I want your opinion, I'll give it to you, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. And that's not the way God created us to be. Has mankind ever tried to take away something, anything else that God gave us?
Yes.
What would that be?
The freedom to choose to worship on what day. We want to worship on God's day, and they want us to worship on the first day.
Mm-hmm. Taking away another God-given right or freedom to follow him. And the thing about taking someone's freedom of choice is you take their individuality. You take their personality, their character, because now you're in control of everything that they do. Does that sound like something that maybe could have happened during slavery?
I was going to say what you are describing is slavery.
Slavery in a general sense.
I don't know what you mean. Slavery is slavery.
Okay, slavery, because slaves don't get to make their own choices. Their will is taken from them. And that's one of the things we have to be careful of, even when we have small children. You don't want to take their will from them. You want to train them and educate them and direct them, but you don't want to just take their will from them. God gave them freedom of choice as well. And we have to direct our children to make proper choices, you know, but taking someone's freedom of choice is just taking their individuality, which is why we really need to be fighting against that. Nowadays, Karen mentioned this a lot in the news about the government trying to take our freedom of choice. You know, we don't want to ever let that happen, because then we'll just become a whole civilization of robots. No accountability, no responsibility. We only depend upon the government to tell us what to do, how to act, where to go, when to do this or that. We'd literally be in prison. We'd be prisoners or slaves again. Any other comments about that? Says also, then Satan introduced the spirit of rebellion into this world when he led Adam and Eve into sin. This human sin distorted the image of God in humanity and also distorted the created world and its eventual devastation at the time of the flood. So the world became an arena of universal conflict out of which the God of love will ultimately be vindicated, and that great controversy will finally be ended. What is God doing to help end the great controversy? How is he going to prove that his character is just and true and merciful, and that his law is perfect? What's he going to do? Or what has he done?
I think God has revealed himself in his word. He's given us the word to study. And as we study, we see what kind of character that God has versus what kind of character Lucifer has.
Okay, anybody else? What has God done or is doing to assure that this great controversy would be ended? He gave us his word. Mm-hmm. You mean the Holy Scriptures, or his, what, is that what you mean?
Yeah, the Holy Spirit was giving us a promise that he was coming back again.
Okay. And he also sends us the Comforter, right? And he's also sent us his angels to guide, protect, and sustain us in the way of salvation. God is doing everything he can. He sent his only begotten son to prove that he loves, that his character is a character of love, and also that his law is righteous and just. So he's doing what he can. What can we do as God's ministers to assist others in recognizing the right side of the great controversy? What can we do? Are other people going to have to make a choice on which side of the controversy they're going to be on?
Yes.
Okay, so what do we need? What can we do to help them make the right choice?
We need to spread the truth.
I didn't hear you.
I said it's our job, our great commission is to spread the truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Okay.
And specifically at this time, the three angels message.
Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of ways that we can do that too, right? There's not just one way. Sometimes we get locked into thinking there's only one way to spread the gospel of Christ, but there's many ways. And a lot of times we're just not aware of them, or we don't want to take advantage of them, or we're kind of just used to doing things a certain way. But God has given us many ways and means to spread this gospel message. And that's what we can do to make sure that people are aware that this great controversy is going to come to an end. And we want to be on the right side of this controversy. Now look at, we were talking about how Lucifer was a perfect created being. According to Ezekiel 28, he was perfect in all his ways. And then it says, till iniquity was found in him. What went on there that caused iniquity to be found in him? Any thoughts of what you've read about that? Ezekiel 28 or Isaiah 14?
Well, you know, I said, I can't wait to get to heaven to even, you know, all I can do is think about what I'm reading is that, you know, he wanted to be in place of God, but he had everything that God could possibly give him. But, you know, I guess when his pride got so big that he wanted to get the glory and he wanted to be worshiped like God, nothing was going to stop him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, his ego got the best of him. He wanted to be equal with God. He wasn't happy in his position. He wanted to be equal to God and take Christ's place. But it's interesting that verse, Ezekiel says, till iniquity was found in you. And that's always been an interesting way that's phrased. And I was thinking about it. I know sometimes you see those fruit flies they get in your house. Y'all know what I'm talking about, those little flies?
Yes.
Yeah, the little fruit flies, they come around your vegetables and fruit. And then you notice, wow, where's all these flies coming from? And you look around, you can't figure it out. So you start looking in the cupboards and the cabinets. And then you open the bottom cabinet and boom, there it is, a bag of rotten apples. Just right there. You didn't know where it was coming from until you found it. All of a sudden, it was just there. You didn't put it there. You know, you didn't put rotten apples in there. But when you looked, there those rotten apples were, and they were drawing all those flies. So it's interesting to me that God didn't put iniquity in Satan's, in Lucifer's heart. But when he looked, there it was. All of a sudden, it's just a mystery that we'll have to wait till we get to heaven to find out. How big of an issue do you think pride is in humanity today? Does it cause any problems, or is it a good thing?
I think it causes problems when people feel like that, you know, they're so puffed up on themselves that they can do no wrong and everything that they do is right. And, you know, and then they start looking at, I got this. I'm the one who made this, and I got this job, and I did this, and I did that. And it's like, you know, if you're doing all of this, what do you need God for? Mm. And they fail to see that every time they use the word I and we, and I'm going to say, you know, I've seen it in the Adventist religion where people say, I'm doing this and I'm doing that and I do this at the church. And I, well, if you're doing all of that, then when did you find time to give God the glory and the praise?
Okay. Any other comments? Ego, is it good or bad or indifferent? Nobody has any thoughts on ego? Do you know anybody that has an ego that's too big?
Well, in all that we do, if we're Christians, we're supposed to give glory to God. Because in Him, all this will all good things flow. Nothing good can come from us.
Yeah.
I mean, our righteousness is even filthy rags. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's good to have some self-esteem. God gives us that also. And it's good to have some appreciation of the talents that God has given you. But like was mentioned, we have to give God the glory and not be like Nebuchadnezzar. Look at the great Babylon I have built, or be like Satan. I will ascend to the Most High. I will be in the sides of the Most High. I will be like God. He ended up with eye trouble. So we don't want to be like that, thinking that it's not by God's grace that I'm here. It's by my own hard work and effort. And like you said, Patsy, where does God come into this equation? If you're so great and powerful, what do you need God for? And that's one of the problems with pride, is we start thinking, I don't need God. And once you get to that part, you become a fool, because a fool said in his heart, there is no God. And without God, you will not be saved. So pride, a little bit of self-esteem is good, but when you have a prideful spirit, the scripture says pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So don't ever think more highly of yourself than you ought to, because it's only going to lead you downhill. You know, one of our political leaders now, he's constantly bragging about all this stuff he supposedly does. You know, I had a bigger crowd than this person had at their rally, and I sold more properties than this person, and I have more money. Just everything he says is I. You know, and people get sick of that constantly. Have you ever had a friend who all they did was brag all the time?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, did you like hanging around them?
Nope.
No, nobody does, because there's no room for anyone else to speak up and say how their life's been going or whatever. So, yeah, Satan's pride is what led him to want to be equal with God. And then he got cast out of heaven. Now, what's significant about that sentence? When he was cast out of heaven, he came to earth, tempted Adam and Eve to join his rebellion. He was cast out. What's interesting about that?
Well, you know, when I think of the word cast, I think somebody kicked, you know, you got to go, and maybe you didn't want to go until, and I look at Satan's situation, he wasn't going without taking some angels with him. And my mother used to have this saying, misery loves company.
Yeah, that's a good saying to remember. Yeah, it says that he was cast out. He wasn't asked out. He was kicked out of heaven, thrown out. In fact, the Bible says there was war in heaven. The devil and his angels fought, God and his angels fought, and the devil lost the battle and was thrown out of heaven. And he's down here on this earth now, tempting each one of us. You know, and there are some people who don't even believe in the devil. Is that a good thing or a bad thing to not even believe in the devil? What do you think happens to people that don't believe the devil even exists?
They are deceived.
About what? Believing?
No, about the condition, human condition, about what's really going on, why things are happening the way they're happening.
Okay. Anybody else? Do you have to believe in the devil? Do people have to believe there is a devil?
Yeah, they need to know who their enemy is
Yeah, good point. If you
and where
don't.
their salvation lies as well. Once your enemy, you know who, where your protection is also.
That's good points. You know, people say, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. That way you can see what they're up to. That way you can see if they're after you or if they're plotting against you. And that's a good point that we need to know that there is an enemy down here like a roaring lion seeking to devour us. And if we don't, if we're not aware of it, we can be easily trapped, easily caught, and easily devoured by Satan. Many people who don't believe in the devil, they end up falling right into his traps because they're not watching and praying. But when we know he's out there, and the Bible says he's trying to get us, he wants to take our time, our lives, he wants us to turn us away from God. He has many plans for us, and a lot of people just fall right into the ditch because they're not keeping their eyes open. You know, I have some friends, they don't believe the devil exists. They just say, oh, mankind is just evil and mankind's the problem. Well, then that just limits my awareness to the people who are here just like me. So now I'm only looking for people I can see. I'm not looking for a supernatural enemy who can change into different images. So I'm not aware, I'm not on guard, and it's going to be that much easier for him to get people who are not aware. So it's very important for us to remember, and this is not even limited to people who don't believe in God. There are Christians who believe in God but don't believe in the devil. How can you reconcile those two things? And there are also people who believe in God, but they also believe that the world was created through evolution or through the big explosion. So the Bible tells us to watch and pray because Satan is out here trying to destroy and kill, and he's not our friend. You know, there are people who actually worship the devil. And where did I see this at? The guy, he was trying to explain why they were following Satan. And his thing was, oh yeah, Satan, he's a good leader, and he loves people and he's merciful. And I'm thinking, you talking about the wrong person, you know? And I actually replied back. It was an online discussion. And I replied back that you are talking about the wrong person, that Satan is only here to kill and destroy us and destroy the image of God in mankind. And hopefully that made an impression on them, but who knows? Everybody has free will. So some people choose not to believe in the devil, some follow the devil, etc. We all have free will. Again, goes right back to God giving us free will. And everybody has a choice that they can make. If your kids have free will, what happens when they decide they like spaghetti more than hot dogs for dinner? They have free will, right? So what situation are you in there?
Well, I would say whatever you prepare on that plate, even though they have a free will, they have a right either to eat or go hungry.
That's part of free will too, huh?
I mean, there are times, you may say, well, we have a little on the ex extra in the budget that I can fix, something else. But I don't know. I just grew up, my mama would say, whatever's on that plate, you're going to clean, and that's what you have. And I said, it wasn't like we got a choice. It was whatever she put on that plate, whatever she cooked, that's what you was having for supper.
So can we call that free will?
Well, yeah, because we had the will whether we was gonna eat it or not. Because then we, like I said, we go hungry. If you chose to exercise your free will, you went hungry.
Yeah, you didn't take the food and shove it down their throat. So they do have freedom. You know, and people used to ask this question. if somebody put a gun to your head and asked you a question of some sort, do you still have free will? Because now you got a gun to your head, or they kidnapped your family or something. They just took your free will, right?
You have the choice whether or not to comply.
If they have a gun to your head, your choices are gone, right?
No, you could choose not to comply. And the consequences is then that they will shoot you. But you still have a choice.
Yeah. It always boils down to you do have a choice. It ain't a good choice. It's not the choice you would have chosen, you know, or picked for yourself. But we all have a choice. Just like when God asked us to accept him over Satan, we all have a choice. Everybody's going to have to make a decision for themselves. And that's, again, where free will comes into play. And I think when we're talking about our children, again, we're not taking their free will from them. We're just laying out, you know, pathways for them. You can choose to wear a blue shirt or you can choose a red shirt. Those are your choices. You had the freedom to pick which one you want, you know. So free will,
you know,
is going to be more important as the days go by. Go ahead.
You know, Elder Carroll, I was talking to my sister in Indiana. We were talking about, and she was older, and they experienced Jim Jones. And she was like, you know, those people, they followed him. And when you was talking about free will, but when they realized where he took them, and then he told them to drink that stuff, and at that point, some of them refused, and so he had his guards to pour down their throats anyway. And, you know, and I think, you know, their free will was they followed him, but they didn't realize how evil he really was. And, you know, and like I said, my sister and them, they experienced that, you know, being able to, when he was up in Indianapolis giving all these big mm-hmm. crusades and stuff, because at one time he claimed to be a Seventh-day Adventist. Mm-hmm. And he ended up saying that he got away from us. And but, you know, it's just, you know, it's amazing that sometimes you don't see the end, but God sees the end in the beginning. And I'm sure if those people, especially those that had children, if they could have even seen the future where he would pour drinks and stuff down their kids' throats, you know, strychnine and stuff to kill them, those people would have never, ever even thought about following him.
Yeah, that was a real terrible situation. One of my cousins had a relative who ended up dying in that. You know, it's really sad. At some point, people have to exercise their free will and say, you know what? I don't like the way this is going. I don't like that this guy is saying one thing and doing another, or I don't want to go out here to South America or wherever. And you take your free will and you make a choice. I'm either going to stay with the group or leave the group. Or if you start seeing things become worse, make a decision. Use your free will to say, I've had enough of this and I'm out of here. But, you know, like you were saying, they was pouring it down these people's throats, taking their free will from them. But, you know, their decision in their heart was different. You know, I'm sure their decision was to live, but he took that from them. Even some of them, they end up shooting, I believe. And it's the same thing to the other guy, David Koresh. A lot of people were following him. And then he was telling them, okay, we're gonna all die up here in the house. Okay, now's a chance for your free will to say, not me, I'm leaving. You know, but people chose to stay. And then they realized, oh man, I made a huge mistake. But it was too late. You know, it's just really sad that things like that happen. And again, that's one of the reasons why God gives us free will, so we can make choices that are going to be a blessing to us and not a curse. When Adam and Eve followed Satan in rebellion, then all of mankind became tainted by sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's just distorted the image of God in man. We no longer have that image of God in us because of sin, but Christ died to restore that image. That was why Christ died, so that we can be restored to the image of God, which is what the intention was in the first place. I know y'all remember that song, Bridge Over Troubled Waters. Anybody remember that one?
Yes.
Yeah, so you can think of Jesus as our bridge over troubled waters. You know, sin is the troubled water. Jesus is the way to overcome sin. So he's given us that bridge where we can overcome sin and get right back to the image of God, which is what we're created in. Now, when we look around at the world, even in a sinful state, there's still a lot of beauty, natural beauty in the world. You know, if you just go out to the park or down by the lake or wherever, look up at the sky, you just see beauty everywhere, but it's nothing compared to what it was. So when we look at each other, we're nothing compared to what we were when God created us, but people are still beautiful. So even though sin has marred us, God has blessed this earth and blessed people so much that there's still a lot of beauty in people, and that the devil doesn't have complete reign over us, which is what he really wants. So always try and look at the good in people. You know, there's a person, sometimes people say, oh, that person got a lot of good in them because none of it ever comes out. So when you look at another person, try not to judge them just on what you see, because maybe they just having a bad day or maybe they got frustrated. But there is still a lot of good people on this planet. The news wants us not to think so. The news wants you to think everybody's shooting and killing and robbing and raping folk. But that's not true. There's still plenty of good people on God's earth, plenty of people who are following his way, and plenty of people who only want the best for their family, even as well as for your family. So let's try and remember, our image has been distorted, but it hadn't been totally taken out of man, the image of God. Any other thoughts on that? God's creation? What do you feel in terms of God's creation about the earth being marred by sin? What do you think one of the biggest issues for the earth is right now in terms of natural occurrences?
Would you restate that question, please?
Sure. What do you think one of the biggest issues in dealing with the environment and the earth is right now? What's an important thing that's going on that we need to be aware of?
I think the soil and the goodness of the soil that God had in the Garden of Eden, that things grew, things was healthy, things was natural. And I think man has gotten to the point that they don't give the soil a chance to rest. And coming from Indiana, our farmers were always, they weren't planting the same thing every year. There would be years that, you know, our farmers would let their land rest. Like God said, you know, not only people need rest, but the land needs rest. And I think man has gotten to the point they're using so many pesticides and they're putting so much stuff in the soil that even our food supply isn't always what we thought it should be, you know, natural, coming from the earth. And we don't know what, you know, what kind of, and you know, what kind of vegetables we're getting now as far as coming from the earth. If, you know, if the farmers aren't really concerned about, you know, what they're putting in the soil to grow our fruits and our vegetables.
Yeah, that's huge. That's a huge issue that we need to be focusing on. You know, imagine this too. What if all the farmers stopped farming? What would happen? What happened if the farmers quit farming? There wouldn't be nothing to eat. We'd all die.
Well, many people now are planting their own fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, but I'm saying in terms of the earth being polluted and the soil not having proper nutrients, if we don't take better care of it, nothing's going to grow. It's like you see a lot of large swaths of different continents have become so polluted and deteriorated that nothing grows. And even parts of the ocean, same thing, where nothing grows. So if mankind doesn't do something to prevent it, to stop just destroying the planet, then we're going to all be in trouble because nothing will grow. And if nothing's growing, we don't have anything to eat. So that's definitely a huge issue now, is proper care of the soil of the earth. Any other issues anyone can think of?
Well, as far as the weather goes, I mean, we've had record, as long as man has been recording weather, in the past, in the handful, let's say the past few years, we've broken every record for the number of storms, the severity of storms, whether it be hurricanes or tornadoes, the severe temperature swings. You almost can't tell one season from another anymore. And that's like the earth is having groaning pains, like the Bible predicted.
Yeah, that's huge. The weather has just gotten out of control. I don't know if y'all remember, but back in the day, they used to say that the scientists were shooting rockets up into the atmosphere to try and create weather changes and stuff. And they were shooting so many missiles here and there with wars and also with the experiments that apparently they've made a hole in the ozone layer. I mean, that's the only atmosphere we had. If that gets destroyed, now we're in big trouble. We won't be able to live without the proper atmosphere, you know, and this is the only planet we have. So when you're thinking about people denying global warming, denying that pollution is affecting the earth, denying that the weather is changing, denying that the soil is destroyed and polluted, denying that the oceans are being overfished, we don't have anywhere else to go. You know, this is the only planet we have. And it seems really foolish to me that people still refuse to modify their behavior. You know, I was watching a documentary about fishing, and they have, you know, they kind of have banned some of the fishing in different areas around the world because it's being overfished. Well, the documentary was pointing out how the government is banning individuals like me and you from going out fishing too. But the real problem is these big corporations going out picking up tons of fish and sea creatures and then eating them and just depleting the ocean so much that people have to travel a lot farther just to find fish, you know. And it seems just so simple to look at that and say, yeah, they're right. You know, we got to cut back on what we're doing, but nobody wants to cut back. You know,
well,
you think
the
of
consumption,
all this stuff, huh?
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with you. I said the consumption and the pollution, which is the waste afterwards, whether it be plastics, aerosols, or whatever, and the way corporate waste is being processed, like the last president tried to get rid of the EPA, it all boils down to greed.
Yeah. Yeah, because they can save money if they get rid of regulations. Telling them don't do this or do it a certain way. And it's just sad that people aren't looking any farther than their bank account. Who cares if the next generation doesn't have food to eat? Who cares if the next generation doesn't have fresh air and fresh water to drink? It's just really a sad state of affairs that mankind is putting ourselves into. When you think about the flood, the great flood, it destroyed the whole earth. Everything was gone. It was just a big ocean at that point. So everything's different than it used to be. You know, rivers were changed, mountain ranges were changed, etc. Things are a whole lot different. But as I was saying, it's still beautiful. But now here comes man destroying the earth again. And the Bible says God's going to destroy those who destroy the earth. So we have to do our part, you know, as a you know, take care of what we can, you know, and support those initiatives that are trying to protect the earth, you know. But again, with the free will, people are making choices that they don't look down the road and say, wow, how's this choice going to impact me and my ancestors afterward? They just look at, oh, if I do this, I can make a lot of money. And they're just destroying the earth. America, especially one of the largest throwaway societies, you know, if you don't want something, you just toss it in the trash. Well, where's all that trash going? Paula mentioned the plastic. Where's all that plastic going? a lot of us going out into the ocean. They have a huge, like big whirlpool of plastic out in the ocean off the Pacific coast. It's just, it can't go anywhere. It's just caught in the whirlpool.
It's an island of waste.
It's crazy. It's just sad. I see we're over in India, they have so much waste, like you say, islands of waste. People live on top of it because they need places to live. So they live on top of the waste. And then they get up in the morning and they go through the waste to pick out things that they can get money for recycling. It's horrible. It's just terrible. And that's part of Satan's rebellion. When he came, sin came into the world through Adam and Eve falling for Satan's lies and deceptions. But again, God has sent his son, his Holy Spirit, and his angels to help us in our struggles against the evil caused by sin and caused by Satan. And in the end, when everything is said and done, everybody's going to finally see that God's way is right and Satan's way is wrong. And God will be vindicated as the only just ruler for the universe. And it will be shown that his character truly is love. And it's kind of sad that we have to go through it, through all this. But again, it's a great controversy. Finally, at the end, everybody's going to have to pick which side they're going to be on. Like they say, every tub has to stand on its own bottom. So each one of us is going to have to make a decision. Am I following Christ or am I following Satan? And again, there comes that free will. It's a good thing. Free will is a good thing, or God wouldn't have given it to us. But it's sad to know that many people are going to use their free will to make a poor decision when their lives are at stake. So the great controversy is continuing now, but it's going to be ended, and there will once again be peace and harmony throughout the whole earth as God created it to be love from the very beginning, just as his character is love. So if you haven't read the Desire of Ages or the Conflict of Ages series by Ellen White, go ahead and get that and take a look at it, because nothing describes the conflict, the great controversy, better than that series does. It's really amazing that things were going on before Earth and things will be happening after Earth. And it's just an amazing story to read. And it starts with God is love and it ends with God is love. So that's a beautiful thought to keep in mind. Any final comments? If not, Karen, do you want to tell us what chapter we're on next week?
Yes, so we're in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 1, and we'll be on Chapter 116.
Testimonies 1, Chapter 116. Okay, if you would also close us out with prayer, that would be great.
Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this lesson study. We thank you for the time to come together, Lord, to just worship you through learning something more about your word, Lord Jesus. And we pray that as we go through this week, you would stretch out your arm of protection over us, but help us also to spend time with you throughout the week, Lord, and bring us back together on next Sabbath safely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. All right, everybody,
Amen.
we're gonna head out and enjoy nature while we have it.